after the service, at the end of the service, not after the service, at the end of the service. All right, let's stand this morning for the reading of the Word. Amen. The Word that stands forever. The Word tells us in Isaiah 55, aren't you thankful that we don't have to be rich to get what God has given us? That we don't have to do anything to earn it, we just receive it. Isaiah 55, the Message Bible, tells us, hey there, all who are thirsty, come to the water. Are you penniless? Come anyway, buy and eat. Come buy your drinks, buy wine and milk. Buy without money, because everything is free. Why do you spend your money on junk food, your hard-earned cash on cotton candy? Listen to me. Listen well. Eat only the best. Fill yourself with the finest. Pay attention and come close now. Listen carefully to my life-giving, life-nourishing words. I'm making a lasting covenant, commitment with you, the same that I made with David, sure, solid, and enduring love. I set him up as a witness to the nations. Made him a prince and a leader of the nations. God is setting some of you up. Amen. And I'm doing it in you. You'll summon nations you've never heard of, and nations who've never heard of you will come running to you. Because of the glory of God. Amen. Because of me, your God, because the Holy of Israel has honored you. Seek while he's here to be found. Pray to him while he's close at hand. Let the wicked abandon their way of life and evil their way of thinking. Let them come back to God who is merciful. Come back to God who is lavish with forgiveness. I don't think the way you think. The way you work isn't the way I work. This is God's decree. God, my papers messed up. Well, as the sky soars high above earth, so the way I work surpasses the way you work, and the way I think is beyond the way you think. Just as rain and snow descends from the skies and don't go back until they've watered the earth, during their work of making things grow and blossom, producing seed for farmers and food for the hungry, so will be my words that come out of my mouth. They will not come back empty-handed. They'll do the work I sent them to do. They'll complete the assignment I've given them. Amen. The word that God has over your life is still working, and it will complete the assignment that it sent to do. No matter what it looks like, amen? So you'll go out in joy. You'll be led into a whole and complete life. The mountains and hills will lead the parade, bursting with songs. Everything around you will rejoice with you for the assignment of completion that God has over your life. Amen? All the trees of the forest will join the procession. No more thistles, but giant flowers. No more thorn bushes, but stately pines. Monuments to me, to God. Living and lasting evidence of God. Amen. Amen. The promise has come. It's time to pass over. The promise has come. The river is flowing for all, not just for some. Don't wait and don't hesitate. Now is the time to participate. Come as you are, whether limping, dancing, or leaping. For all his promises concerning you, he is keeping. Be bold in your declarations, and let his word be your final proclamation. Arise, my beloved, to a new day. Choose to believe in what he has to say. No longer be held back by traditions. Now is the time his word will come to fruition. Don't be moved by what you see. For all those things will soon leave. You will find yourself standing on his word because you have made Jesus your Lord and all his promises are now yours. Just believe. Amen. And Father, we believe today. We come as believers in your house, believing that you have said it, therefore you will do it. We thank you, Father. We come into agreement with you, not begging or pleading, but simply agreeing with what you already want to do and what you already have said. Every person that comes into that parking lot today, that they are met with the life-changing Spirit of God. And I decree and declare over your church that you will not leave this place today not being refreshed, not being revived, and with so much hope and expectation of seeing God's word come to fruition in your life. It's a new day. God is looking for participants in the kingdom of God. They'll say, "Here am I, Lord, send me." Amen. Be blessed today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good to be back in the house of the Lord. Amen. The God we serve is an awesome God. Hallelujah. He sure is.
Stronger God, you are higher than any God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God.
Let's do that here. Say,
our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God,
amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You know, this morning on the way here, actually, before then, I was leaving the house, and this impression just came upon me, and it was the Lord carrying his cross to his crucifixion. And on my way here, I just kept thinking about, without that, where would we be? Without him dragging his cross and getting spat on, getting stoned, all the beatings he took for us, without that, where would we be at? Where would we really be at? We'd be back in the Old Testament, am I not correct? We'd be back to where we'd have to offer up sacrifices and where we'd have to live under laws that would just really be hard to do. I'm not saying it would be impossible, but it would be really hard to do. Then I thought about this as well. You know, it goes right alongside of how this country was formed. Because without all the sacrifices of these soldiers and these people that died so we could be free, it all goes hand in hand. But God, he paved the way for us all. We can live free of sin. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, we've accepted Christ, so it's a done deal. You know, we can ask for forgiveness for any mistake we make. And it's washed away. It's forgotten about. It's just an awesome thing. I think it's an awesome thing. You know, he gave his life to save me and you. He gave his life to save me and you. And I think that's an awesome thing. He gave his life so we could be healed. He gave his life so that we could get our needs met. Yeah, I think that's pretty awesome. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, that's awesome. Woo! Boy, I tell you what, last Sunday I felt like I was wading in mud up here. I just tell you the truth. I said, Lord, let this hurry up and be done. Let me go sit down somewhere. I did. But you know what? It's all good. Because sometimes you got to look back to see where you're going. You know what I'm saying? Woo! Hallelujah. One more time, kids. You do it like that one more time. Hallelujah. Yes, yes, yes. Yet still, he overcome it all. Hallelujah. Seated above, enthroned in the Father's love, destined to die, poured out for all. Son, perfect and spotless one, and he never sinned, but suffered as if he did. All authority. blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, everyone overcome. We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. It took me so long in my life to learn that I could stand on the word and get results. Let's back up further than that. It took me so long to know that the word would stand on me. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The word stands in me. The word stands beside me. Because without the word, what are we? Amen. You know, how can you be a Christian if you don't have the word? Amen. So you know, I don't care what we're going through. As long as we have the word, we have it all. We've got our salvation. We have our healings and our blessings.
Oh. Yes.
I think it's an awesome thing, personally. Say, my God is a good God. You know that, don't you, Dad? That's right. He's a good God. You know, it says, we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So what does that mean? We got to tell people what God's done for us? Is that something in that order? Hallelujah. You know, I don't mind doing that because, you know, I've almost been paralyzed. I was addicted to drugs. I went through a period in my life to where I smoked so much crack that it was unreal. I could fill up the back of a pickup truck. I think I'm kidding. But I could. But with that being said, not bragging about it, just the scale. Not bragging about it. But when I got locked up, they never had to detox me. They never did have to do none of that stuff to me. I still have all my teeth. I have my senses. It's a God thing.
That's right.
I used to call their house to talk to Miriam and get the answering service. And he'd come on with this thing about who he is and what number I've called. And then it would say, remember, God has a plan for your life. Yeah, I remember that. You remember that, Dad? I remember that. And I was thinking, like, wow, you know. God has a plan for all our lives. I don't care what we're going through. I don't care what has struck us down or is trying to get us down. The plan is still there. And now it's all in us what we need to do with that. You know, we need to believe on the word so we can get our healings. We need to believe on the word so these plans will go through. Amen? Because that's what it's all about. You know, we can have pity parties. Don't do you no good. You can have them, but you don't do a bit of good. Or you can stand up and take authority over whatever.
Amen.
Bottom line, you have to get bold.
Amen.
That's what the word says. If I ain't mistaken, I think it says something like that in the book of Acts, talking about praying for boldness and all this good stuff.
Yeah.
I believe it's in there somewhere or another. One of these days, I'm going to get a mind like him, then I'll know for sure. One of these days. He might rub off on me a little bit. Yes, ma'am. Well, you just do your thing. Hold on a minute.
This has been one of those weeks where the thing that's written on the back of the bulletin, whoever put that in, by Andrew Womack, where it said that people blame God for the world and how it is. Well, it started out on Monday. My younger sister, Charlotte, she hasn't been feeling well for 4 months, and we have been praying with everything in us. Well, Monday, she had her PET scan done, and it came back that her leukemia is back. Well, what did she go and do? Blame God, say that's not what we were praying for. She said, well, when she called and told me, she said, God's got it. I said, you're right, he does. And I have to say this in all truth, and I'm with her through some of her worst times, like throwing up and all the other things that go with it. Never one time have I ever heard out of her mouth that she blames God for anything. And people were saying, well, what's her secret? And I said, she doesn't blame God. You hear her praise God. She will throw up, and after throwing up, she'll say, thank you, Jesus. You know, she said, I am not going to blame God. Well, they gave her two options. She could go through another 6 months of intense chemotherapy, IV, or there was this pill that's come out that can put her back in remission for up to 2 more years, and then when it comes back, they'll have to do the chemo if it comes back. Well, she opted for the pills. She thought it would, you know, you wouldn't have to keep going every week and all the stuff she has to go through with that. Well, the problem was the pills were going to cost $12,000 a month, and she was going to have to take them for 12 months. So she said, no, let's just go ahead and set it up for IV chemo. They made all the arrangements. Well, in the meantime, her doctor started working with the social worker, and her insurance company, which has up to this time refused to pay for this medication because it's experimental, came back and said, do you all think you can come up with $300 a month for your medicines? And Charlotte said, yes, we can. So she's excited. So they tell her when the pills are going to be there. And before it is dropped off, she gets another call from her clinic. And it says, we have hooked you up with a program. Do you think you can come up with $30 a month?
Amen.
She is paying
Amen.
$30 a Amen. Month for $12,000 worth
Amen.
Of medication.
Amen.
That's God.
Amen.
He doesn't stop there. her, the people that were renting her building next door, which is a source of income for her, moved out Thursday. And it's a good thing. They expanded. They've done great. So they have bought Dakota Myers' building 3 miles down. And so Charlotte and them said, oh, yes, you need to move. We're so glad you've prospered well. So my brother-in-law says, Charlotte, we need to put an ad in the paper. We need to let people know this building's for rent. Well, she's not been well, I mean, since this medication. She is having problems with the side effects. But anyway, when she was sick Friday, she got this text, and it said, I saw your building was empty. Is it for rent by chance? She texted back, yes. They said, can we come and see it in about 40 minutes? She said, yes. She sent her husband out there. They've rented the building. That building was gone for less than 24 hours.
Amen.
And they never even put it in the paper. That's God.
Amen.
Well, then my daughter's truck, they have to have two vehicles. They work different hours. It went out, and one of the guys told them it was the transmission. They were going to have to get a new transmission. And she kind of put something on Facebook where she was a little bit miffed. And so I called her and I said, Minta, you quit that complaining. I said, you want God to come through. You quit your complaining. You quit your worrying. And you let God take care of it. And she said, you're right, Mama. Next day, they looked at it. It was a ring clamp and it cost her $83.69. That's what God can do.
Amen.
When we keep our attitude right.
Amen.
And we keep him on the throne.
Amen.
And we quit blaming him for things that don't go right. And we keep him on the throne and we keep the word in our spirit, man, and we don't waver. That's what God can do. And I am believing for complete healing for my sister.
Amen.
Complete and total healing, however he chooses to do it. But we believe that. And we're not going to stop believing that.
Got to stand and be strong, amen?
Amen.
Got to have a made-up mind. Yeah. I remember Nana used to sing that song. I've got a made-up mind. I'm going to serve the Lord whatever comes my way. Yeah, I remember that. Woo! Back down the road a little bit right there, y'all. That's right. We serve an awesome God. We sure do. We serve an awesome God.
There is one.
lifted up. Tell everyone how great the love. We'll be bowed down from heaven's gate to kiss the earth with open grace. Sing. But I do believe that he's going to have to put brakes on me. I do. Sometimes I get ahead of myself, Willie. Now, sometimes some of them things that I do is coming from her. Not Miriam, my nana. I guess. I'm going to behave, Mom. I'll leave it alone. I went on past the offering, so I think we'll backtrack. Amen. Hallelujah. So, Lord God, I just thank you for the offerings today, Amen. Heavenly Father. Amen. I thank you for the giving of this church, Lord God, because they do it continuously to keep these doors open, Lord God, and to make sure all our bills are paid. I thank you for blessing them mightily, Heavenly Father, as they do these things from the bottom of their hearts, Lord. And I just thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's do that again. Oh, you want to go and do that one? Let me find it. See, I can see the waters raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sounds of nations rising up.
We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome.
I can walk down this dark and painful road. I can face every fear of the unknown. I can hear all God's children singing out.
We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome.
The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake, lives in us, lives in us.
The same power that moves mountains when he speaks, the same power that can calm a raging sea, lives in us.
We have hope.
Come on. Amen.
That his promises are true in his strength. There is nothing we can do. Yes, we know there are greater things in store.
We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome.
This church is home right now because he's wore out and he's got his medication thing going on. But this is my word to him.
Amen.
The same power,
amen,
that rose Jesus from,
amen,
the grave. Amen.
Amen.
It lives in him too, honey. Your husband,
amen,
will be just fine because he's standing on the rock like we're standing right here next to him. Amen. And you just let him know that we got his back. Amen.
Amen.
That's my buddy and he's going to be just fine. Hallelujah. Yes.
Amen.
Because greater is he that is living in me.
He's conquered our enemies. Oh, no power of No weapons prevailed, but we stand here in victory.
Ain't nothing wrong with being positive about what you're doing either. You know, I'm not I can't stand here and quote you scripture after scripture, but I can stand here and tell you that God is real, and I can stand here and tell you where to go get your information. That's right. Oh, that's exactly right. So if you're grounded in the Bible when you're a kid, when you get big as me, the ground is still there. It just means you've grown. Now, what you did with that between this point and this point, it's all on you. Because once you get to the age to where you know the difference between right and wrong, that's your choice. Now, with that being said, when you're grounded, that means mom and dad is somewhere close. But when you hit that age span to where you're making your own decisions, well, I can do what I want. I can do it how I want to. Now, keep in the back of your mind, that doesn't mean that mom and dad are not still close. That just means you're either standing by the Lord or you're pulling away from Him. It's going to be one or the other way. It's no middle ground. There's no middle ground. How do I know? How you know, Ricardo? Because I did that same thing. I've been there and done that. Now, with that being said, there comes a point in life to where you have to make a decision. Either you're going to live for the Lord or you're not. Again, there's no middle ground. You're going to be for Him. And I don't care how good a person you are, if you're not for Him, you're against Him. It's just the way it works. You can't let your husband, you can't let your wife, you can't let your kids, your uncles, your aunts make that decision for you. You have to make that decision for yourself. I had to do that. When my little girls was looking at me through that pane of glass and I was talking on the phone to my wife and my kids are standing there trying to reach their daddy, I had to come to grips with reality. Those are my kids. Looking at me through a piece of glass trying to get to their daddy. No, that ain't happening. Mm-mm. That did it. Not only besides that, the guys I was running around with, they were still out there running around and I was locked up. But you know what? It's not their fault. It's my fault because I made the choice. I made that choice to go do everything I did. One day I made the choice to flip my life around.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, I made that choice to turn it around. And guess how I did that? I went in a jail cell with this preacher friend. And I got out on my knees and I gave it up to him right there in front of everybody that was a witness there. And that's been over 20 years ago, and I'm still for the Lord right now. Amen?
Amen.
So don't tell me it can't be done. It's whether you want to do it or not.
That's right. Amen.
It's whether you want to do it or not.
Amen.
He's there, willing and waiting. I've been flipped over on by horses. Could have been paralyzed. And this lady right here, she didn't know how much influence she had at that particular point in my life, because when I hit that ground, and I kicked that horse, and the horse happened to just land beside me. And when my back hit that ground, the first words out of my mouth was, "In Jesus' name." And I've heard her say that so many times. "In Jesus' name." And then the horse happened to roll over me. And then I was laying uncomfortable on my back, and I rolled over. And I could move my legs a little bit. And I kept saying, "In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name." And then I heard my wife scream. I heard her, and I was a half mile away maybe, and I heard that. But all I could keep saying at that particular point in my life was, "In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name." So if you don't know what to say, call on Jesus. Just keep calling on him. I don't care what you're going through. Again, call on Jesus. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Go ahead. Let's do this.
With truth,
you're the reason we're here, you're the reason we're singing. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart.
Heaven.
Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Down, 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 down. Yeah. Okay. All right. You know, no matter who you are, the devil has never found anybody that he hasn't tried to come up with something. And, I got to make this short. Do something I've never done before. Make it short. This past week, we were on the mission field at a Walmart. And we ran into a young lady that we had the privilege of seeing her grow up. And when she saw us, she ran over to where we were. She didn't run, but she came quickly over to where we were. And she gave us both a hug, and we were talking about things and sharing with her and made some comments. We got home. After we got home, been home a little while, Laverne got a Facebook message from this young lady. And telling us how much it blessed her to see us and the things that we shared with her and how God, well, she didn't say how God, but I could see that from my point of view that God just really ministered to that young lady. And I've been going through this thing of the devil coming and saying, "You're not helping anybody." Well, Thursday morning, Laverne said, I got a text. You need to read it. How many of you remember Alice Verbeck? Any of you remember her? She wasn't here for very long because of circumstances, but she came into church one night with a friend, and I can't even remember now who it was, but she sat right back about 3-4 rows there. And she was in a situation at home and was very abusive. Her husband was very, very, very abusive. And he was a narcissist. And a narcissist is a person that only thinks about their own pleasures. I mean, as long as things are done to suit me, that's fine. I don't care how anybody else feels or what it does to them or how it affects them. As long as I'm okay, as long as I feel good, as long as everything's done my way. And she had even been to the hospital, had to have surgery, and he wouldn't even take her to the hospital. She had to drive herself. And then she didn't have a place to stay because he told her, "If you go, don't come home." And we worked it out for her. We sat, and we didn't know this woman. And you know, it wasn't something God did every time, but he said, "Bring her. If she needs a place," he put a Lord told Laverne and said, "Tell her she can come home with you." And God ministered to her here through this church. And she was in this article that she wrote. It was posted on her website because she has a ministry now of intervention. She left here. We helped her move for a while to Camelsville. She left Camelsville 17 years ago. And you might not remember the name, but I think you were with me the day that we helped her move to Camelsville, and she backed my van out in front of a car and got hit by the traffic. She backed out in front of over by the Christian church in Camelsville. She was trying to turn around. She backed out, and I could see it happening because I was sitting with Ricardo across the street, truck. And I'm thinking, and by the time, bam. Well, I mean, I never jumped out of the car and went over there and called her an idiot and crazy person and gave her a cussing, and I tried to help you, and look what you've done to my van and all that kind of stuff. It just, it wasn't there. This woman needed help, and we were helping. But when she left Camelsville, she went to California, and she taught in a Christian college for a little while, and then she finally ended up in Katy, Texas. And I don't know exactly where Katy is, but I've heard of it for some reason or other. And she's got the intervention ministry down there. But anyway, she came up in this, I don't think I can say it's a Pentecostal group. They were Bible believers. You know, you can be a Bible believer and believe the wrong thing. You believe the Bible's true, but somebody's taught it to you wrong. And it's hard to, you know, it's hard to deal with that kind of thing. I'm a Bible believer. I've always been a Bible believer. But there's things I believe now that I used to not believe, and there's things I used to believe that I don't believe now because I'm going to know more about what the Bible really says, and I'm very comfortable in what I believe now, even though it's in stark contrast to some of the things I used to believe. But this is what she was raised in, and she was raised believing that you absolutely, under no conditions, once you got married, under no condition could you get a divorce. Because getting a divorce is like drawing the go-to-jail card in a Monopoly game. You know, go straight to jail. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. And there's a lot of people that believe that divorce is like drawing the go-to-jail card, only it's go to hell. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. In other words, forget it. It's over. You're done. And I said, but God doesn't want you to live in that kind of abuse. You need to work it out. And she tried and different times. And her husband just wasn't going to be any different than what he was. But yet she says, can't leave him because what I believe when I've been taught about the consequences of it. And one night I was praying and I said, God, help me. Help me help this lady. What can I do this idea came into my head. I thought, God, he said, now you just trust me. I said, okay, because I had an appointment to talk to her. So we went and met for our appointment. I said, well, I got the answer to your problem. I said, I was praying, and God told me what you need to do, how to deal with your husband. Looked at me, and I said, now I'm just going to tell you what God told me. I said, God told me to tell you to kill him. And she looked at me, And I said, well, look at it this way. God will forgive you for killing him, but he won't forgive you for divorcing him. I mean, see the theology in that? Same people that believe you're going to hell if you get divorced wouldn't believe you're going to hell if you kill the person that was abusing you. Just like that's the unpardonable sin. And I said, now you know I don't mean that. But I'm just getting the point across. Isn't it true that if you killed him, God would forgive you? You came before the Lord and said, Lord, I'm sorry. I really did that in a bit of rage, or my emotions were so bad. And I did. I'm sorry that I killed him. Will you forgive me? And an old Christian will argue with you that God wouldn't. But there's Christians that will argue with you that if you divorce somebody, you're going to go to hell unless you get it restored. But we hadn't heard from her in 17 years. But there was this article that went out her honor, and she was talking about Gerald and Laverne Relford at a little church in Kentucky years and years ago saved my life. And she met a man, and good man, she said, a Christian man, loves God, loves me. And a narcissist is incapable of love. Anybody but themselves. And she said he would act like he did, you know, the husband, he would act like he loved me when things got bad. He even came to church with her. Out here a time or two. And to make a good impression. But didn't change anything. And finally wore off. And I'm thinking how much different we could have been, and we could have aided in that woman's self-destruction if we hadn't have been willing to tell her the truth. And, well, what about where it says, you know, what God's joined together, let no man put asunder. You got to make sure God joined it together. You know, man can do a lot of, you know, I'll give you something. Nowhere in the scriptures did God ever say that Adam could marry Steve. He put them together, Adam and Eve, male, female, man and woman. And so there's no way that you can justify homosexual marriage. I don't care how politically incorrect or how narrow-minded or homophobic or whatever you want to use term that I sound like. It's the Word of God, and the Word of God stands forever. And there's no question about that. But some of the other things, you know, you got 15 different beliefs about a scripture, at least 14 of them are wrong. Maybe all 15 of them, but at least, you know, if you got 10, at least 9 of them are wrong. Sometimes some of the scripture that we get so possessive of or inspired by are things that don't even matter. And we've made the difference. We've made them matter. Everything from baptism to communion to where you put your pulpit. Whether or not your song leader stands on one side of the platform and your preacher stands on the other. Referred to as a split chancel. And then you've got some that everything happens from the middle. And it can be on the platform or it can be on the floor. God don't care. He wants us to believe him. And God was interested in this lady. And I knew, there was no question in my mind, that God did not want her going through life being tormented and abused. He's not that kind of God. I don't care what you have to put up with. You stay with him. Can God work things out? He sure can, but both sides got to be willing. You can't make an agreement unless both sides agree. Well, anyway, that was just the testimony of how God has worked. So things you've done for people, things you've said to people, and maybe you've never heard nothing from them. Like I said, 17 years, I had no idea where she was. I had no idea whatever happened to her after she left here. But I was certainly glad to get that text. And we went to the website and read the article, and I kind of want to make you cry and wonder, did we do that? When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was lonely, you took me in. When I was in prison, you came to see me. When did we do these things, Lord? You've done it unto the least of these. You've done it unto me. So take heart in all that you do. And it's like Ricardo was saying earlier, no matter what kind of situation a person may be in, there is hope. Amen. And see, if it hadn't been for you people in this church, we wouldn't have the opportunity to even seen her. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Loving people, changing one life at a time. Amen. So many times people think they have to build big ministries and start this and start that, but we're just called to love people.